Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JV Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. And tonight, that's no different. We have a fellow speculative fiction author on, and we'll get to her in a little bit. And as always, if you like what you hear, you could find me in my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or go ahead and follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter/X. Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or you can always look for me as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. And before we get started tonight, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. And for those of you that are fans of speculative fiction, meaning you like sci-fi, you like fantasy, you like dystopian, you like horror, you like the gothic, you like monster stories, you're going to find a ton of that on there. And it's a portal for publication for a lot of first-time authors. So you're going to find people that you haven't read before, but you'll also find award-winning authors on there too. It's a real nice, safe community for folks to just share their stuff and come on. So if you like speculative fiction and or you like speculative poetry, you know, a few months ago, I didn't even know there was something called horror poetry. And there is. So if you like me scared, in Edgar Allan Poe kind of style, check out alteredrealitymag.com for that. And before we get started tonight, I want to thank our guest, Laura Thompson, for coming on this evening. And Laura, well met and welcome to the realm.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Before we get started, tell everybody a little bit about your authorship and the kind of stuff that you like to write.
Yeah, absolutely. I started in with fantasy, epic fantasy. I really like the old-fashioned time period, so everything I write, they're journeying with horses and, you know, no cell phones. started with YA. I had read Harry Potter in grad school. I was very late in comparison to a lot of fans, but became a fan. And then I started thinking about my favorite character really was Dobby, and he's an elf, obviously, and the difference between her elves versus Tolkien's elves. Obviously very, very different in style.
Big difference.
I loved Tolkien's style of elves, though. That scene in the Hobbit movie where she does the water spell to make the horses pop up out of the river, I just loved that scene, and it stuck with me. And when after I read Harry Potter, I started thinking about elves and how cool I think they are, and I wanted to write my own story of elves. So that's where my first series, Elven Quest, came from. And I just sat down and one day and pulled out my laptop after work and started writing a story of a half elf that has the magic ability to control water. And then that sprang into elemental powers and a story of basically trying to say that we should all kind of work together to save our world, our environment, our earth, and how important the elements are. So that very much weaved into the story. And then from there, I moved on to adult fantasy, which was very much outside the comfort zone at the time, to go from YA to adult with spicy scenes and, you know, harsher villains and violence. So it's very, very different. And I was my editor and best friend laughs at me because I was very timid with the scenes that I wrote. And he said to me, "This is for adults, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Then why are you holding back? Don't hold back. Adults don't need you to be, you know, PG. Go ahead, you know, go nuts." So I did. I kind of spiced it up a little and, you know, jumped out of that comfort zone into the deep end of adult writing.
You know, it's funny you mention that because, you know, there's a lot of folks that this romanticy that's out there now, this mix between romance and fantasy. I didn't know the difference between open and closed door romance. And I mm-hmm. found that out the hard way at a con that I was a couple of months ago when the romanticy writers in my booth were telling me what that was. And you're right. I mean, oftentimes, especially in fantasy adventure, you're gearing yourself toward, you know, a PG-13 audience, a Star Wars, an Indiana Jones, an audience where you're getting those 12, 13, 14-year-old advanced readers. And there are some things that you have to kind of be aware of. But then when you cross that line into new adult and beyond, you could cross that Rubicon and get away with it and things like that. Do you find yourself that you, do you have a preference for writing YA over
Well,
adult, or is it, does it ma not matter to you anymore?
you know, I don't know. I think I love adult writing now that I've gotten into it, and I have to say, I mean, his exact words when he read the first, you know, lovemaking scene that I wrote were, "Don't hold back, let your freak flag fly." Because it is, it's very much like you have to say, okay, yeah, this is for adults. So now, kind of taken off that in that direction, I really like it. I really like to be able to speak to other people, hopefully my age. But then I say that, and then I read some of my early stories to my son now, who's 10, and he loves Elven Quest, and we read it together. And you know, I started missing the YA and the for the kids. So then last year, with a friend of mine, I co-wrote a paranormal fantasy that's for about his age group. I would say 10 years oldish. And I'm
It's the
editing
middle
that now,
grade, you
so
would say.
that'll
Yeah.
yeah, I was thinking middle grade. And that'll hopefully be out next, maybe later this year or next year. Hopefully, probably next year, early maybe January. And that was so much fun to write, though, to get back into the kid magic. So I don't know. So now I'm torn. I like them both, but
Well,
for
let me
different
ask you this,
reasons.
because I, you know, we have not just a lot of readers that listen to the show, but we also have a lot of writers that listen to the show. And we've already talked about you kind of going, you know, from YA to new adult and adult. And then you're also talking about middle grade. Do you find as an author it difficult to write at all those levels? Has your readership balked and said, well, I expect you to be writing adult and I'm finding yourself in young adult or middle grade? You know, or doesn't it matter? You know, you feel comfortable writing in all three at all three levels.
It doesn't really matter to me. I feel like I'm pretty lucky because I can kind of easily jump back into my mindset as a kid. I had a very vivid imagination as a kid, and I was mature in a lot of ways, but I mean, you know, as a kid you go through a lot of, I don't know, growing pains, and so all of that kind of feeds into my characters. My characters are almost always people that kind of doubt themselves, or they, you know, have a harsh inner critic, or they just don't see that they're powerful enough to accomplish some task, and then they surprise themselves and they learn to trust themselves, and then they grow and they change. That's totally me. So that kind of runs the theme, and it's just a matter of who you're re trying to reach, you know, with that sort of same theme.
So
Are
your
you
real life
reaching the
experience informs your writing then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this, because I found it, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you started speaking about how easy it is for you to fall back into your childhood. If I read this correctly, your first full-length novel was written when you were 16. Is that right?
Well, it was a novella, but yes, I wrote my first, what I would consider my first novel in my junior year of high school.
Well, that's ridiculously cool, first of all. I think you might be the youngest person on our show. And we've been doing this now for almost 2.5 years. My guess is that you might have the record for the youngest. And I just think that's why, because when I was 16, I didn't have a mind for any of that, right? Like, oh yeah, I may be inspired one day to write something. And you did it, you know, and that's
Well,
really cool.
I
How
can't
did you
take
do it?
full
And
credit though. Yeah, I was gonna
were
say I
you in?
can't take full credit because I
All
was
right.
writing short stories when I was even younger. When I was in sixth grade, I was writing short stories. But then when I was in high school, my sophomore year, I had this fantastic creative writing teacher, and he was like just the most amazing guy, and he was so fun, and he taught us how to take, you know, because I would write kind of basic beginning, middle, and end short stories. And he said to me, "You have a great imagination, obviously, and you have a way with words. So now you need to figure out how to expand a short story to be longer, because I think you could write a novel, you know." And so he taught me how to create backstories for characters and how to expand the action scenes and how to, kind of dive more into the feelings of the characters, how to show and not tell, all of that kind of stuff. He taught me how to do all of it. And then I started a story in his class, and it just blossomed into what became it's pretty short, so I would say a novella, but and then it's handwritten because these are the I'm wicked old, so these are back in the days of writing in a notebook. And so I still have them. I have two notebooks that are buried in my closet somewhere with this novella on them, and eventually I'll type it up and publish that one too, but it probably needs work.
That is such a cool story, and there's the mentor protege kind of, story. Just, I think everybody has someone in their life that pushes them to do something like that, whether they realize it or not. And I think that that's really cool for you to be able to tap into something like that, and for you to be able to share that with our listeners tonight. I also noticed something in my research of you that you also publish under the name L.E. LaBarge. Why make the distinction between Laura Thompson and Ellie LaBarge?
So the series under Ellie LaBarge is a young adult coming of age drama. It's not at all fantasy, so I really wanted to separate the two. And on top of that difference of genre, it's very personal to me. So the series is all number one, it's first person, which is very different from my fantasies, all third person, and everything else that I've ever written is third person. So these were first person, and they were written first person because the first story, which is called Amity Boppin's story, is the series is Freak or Unique. And Amity's story is my story. So I grew up and was diagnosed with epilepsy when I was 12, and it changed my life completely. The first time I had a seizure, I went into the hospital on Christmas Day. And it just changed everything. So it's Amity's story is written almost like a journal, and it's real life collection of memories of me going through that and me going through other stuff in middle school that's, was it took me over 2 years to write that because it was very emotional, and tough to kind of go back and relive all of that child pain. But I felt it was very, very important to reach out to kids now that are in that age group, and they're going through, and in high school too, and are going through these struggles of, self-identity, and just I mean health issues, stress issues, anxiety, all these things that kids still have and had back then, they still have, and they struggle, and they feel like they're alone. And I needed to reach those kids based on, my own past. And so I wrote it under my maiden name. So LaBarge is my maiden name. And I really wanted
Well,
to tie it back to that childhood.
first of all, cool story, really cool story. Second of all, we write what we know, right? And that's exactly what you did here. And I think that that's, incredible for not only you but for those who read it and learn from it. So well done. And I'm glad I asked that question. But I got another one for you. We in the fantasy adventure realms or the sci-fi realms realize what it means to world build. And you've done that twice here. You mentioned earlier the Elven Quest series, which ultimately has elemental magic in it, and it's addresses certain tropes that we find a lot in this kind of stuff, whether it's something like trust or love or loss, or all of those kind of things. And then you've got the, and forgive me if I mispronounce this, you've the Witches of Beldum, Tradbeldum, right? And
That's
that
exactly right.
is,
Good job. Not everybody
okay,
gets
cool. Well,
it.
yeah. And well, I'm, look, you and I are used to writing in language that people have a hard time understanding
That's right.
because that's what, talk about tropes for fantasy. I guess that's part of it. But that's something that you've adopted that, really talks about pagan witches and covens and other, as you describe, magic races. How have you been, what were the challenges of building both of these worlds? And what did you like about each series, that makes them different and unique?
Yeah, So part of the building of the world is like we sort of talked about, knowing the audience that's going to be reading it and what's going to be appropriate for them or not. And so the YA Elven Quest is it's a hero's journey. So, you know, look at Joseph Campbell, right? And how he
Right.
describes the hero's journey circle. And that's exactly what it is. It's your typical Frodo, Harry Potter, you know, main character that has to leave her small, comfortable home and take this journey and grow and you know, she develops and her magic develops and she learns things about herself along the way and all of that. So, for me, that's a comfort zone kind of trope and world that was easy to write because it's, you know, everybody knows that trope, right? And it's classic for a reason. The funny thing about it though is that I am such a panster that I don't plan anything. So then I'll be writing some of the later books and I'll say to myself, "Oh, this detail actually ties back to something that this person said in book one on page whatever."
So
And
by
it can
accident,
connect to
right?
be, you know, like a it was a foreshadow. I say, well done, characters. Good job connecting yourselves. Because I don't plan that. So it's pretty awesome. But then my Witches series, I totally wanted to change that style because it's not Hero's Journey. It's a very much a compilation of multiple main characters. So it kind of starts where you think maybe the main character is Sowena. But then by book two, we're focusing on her friend Moya. And by book three, it's all about Will. And by book four, you're talking about Cullen's struggles. So it bounces all over the place, and much like, more like Game of Thrones style. And I just felt like that's more exciting for an adult audience to have a bunch of different characters that they can sink their teeth into in a bigger, more complex world. So that's what I was trying to strive for. And I think it works. I mean, I made sure that there's lots of different countries. There's lots of different, like you said, magic races that all have backstories and all of it. So tried to make it a much bigger world.
Well, tell everybody what you're working on now. What's your work in progress?
So I actually haven't written in, I don't know, several months now. No fault of my own, really. So I started an editing company in October of last year, and we blew up as of March, February or March. We've had nonstop clients. So thank you very much for those who found us and are working with us. It's been awesome. But both my partner and I have kind of put our writing on the back burner for the moment to focus on that. But in my own series, I'm about halfway through book five of Witches of Tribeldum. I'm coming up soon to an epic battle, and I think that's part of my putting it off is that I'm real nervous about it. I have never been this nervous about writing a fight scene. I don't know why, but this one just feels big and like I want to do it justice. So I'm kind of holding off until I'm in the right mindset. On top of
I
that,
get
I
you
have
on
a
that because I
backlog.
write a lot of battle scenes, and the ones that have the most consequence are the ones you struggle to finish because you want to do it right, right? You want to do it right by the character. So I feel you there.
I have a friend that I told him I might need to, you know, pull him in and have him help me, or at least, you know, read it as I'm writing it and tell me yes or no, because yeah, it just seems huge, and I know that there's going to be massive changes. I know it's going to set up book six. So I just want it to be good. So I'm kind of waiting. But and then on top of that, I have a backlog of books that I've completed that have been sitting around and need to be edited. So I'm trying to work a little bit on those here and there when I can. I really want them all to see the light of day. I've got four in the Elven Quest series that I'm reading to my son and editing now. And then a bunch of other ones, another one in the Freaking Unique series, and several others that are kind of random one-off things. I wrote a romance novel last year with a friend of mine as well. So I'm editing that. I have the paranormal fantasy that I'm editing. So it's, nonstop.
There you got plenty of irons in the fire. Well, we're coming to the end of our show, and at the end of our show, we always do a lightning round with our guests. So if you're ready to go, I'll ask you some fun questions and see where they take us.
All right.
Okay, so first question, and I hope this is an easy one, but it's not always easy, but it's a fun one, so I ask it a lot. So you're invited to a lunch with one other author, living or dead. Who would that person be and why?
Well, I think it would have to be the father of fantasy. It'd have to be Tolkien because his world is so incredible. And I would just want to know what went through his mind when he was writing it. Was he a planner or a panster? Did he talk to his friends? I mean, did he bring it to his writing circles and have C.S. Lewis read it? All of those kinds of things that I just always am curious about. What were his hopes for it? I wish I could show him now what a huge difference his writing made. Show him the movies. I think it'd be pretty
Oh,
cool.
just for it, or what it meant to the community. He was the granddaddy of them all, was he not?
He absolutely is. He's the father of fantasy
So,
for sure.
exactly. So, as an author, what is the best money you've ever spent, and what is the worst money you have ever spent?
Good one. Best money I've ever spent. Well, can they go together? Because the best and worst money I
Sure.
ever spent really went together. It was at the beginning of my publishing journey, and I was taken in by a vanity publisher. Spent around $4,000hiring this vanity publisher. And it was the best money I ever spent because it taught me never to do that again. And it taught me that I have the smarts and the capability to learn what I needed to learn in terms of editing, in terms of producing a book and do it on my own, and I could do it better. So it gave me that confidence to go that route. It was obviously the worst money I ever spent because it was $4,000 out of my savings, my 401k that I never got back, and it was a loss. The what they produced was pretty terrible. The editing was awful, and you never recoup that. So that was rough. It was a le lesson learned the hard way. But
Well, you know what, but that
I think in the
is,
end it
those are
was
the most
good.
valuable lessons though, right? Yeah, I hear you.
Absolutely.
So, well, final question. There's a library and it's burning and you rush in and you want to help, but you could only save one book and that book can't be one of your own. What book would you grab and why?
Oh there's so many. Well, I'm tempted to say the Harry Potters, but I don't know. I would have to. This is totally not fantasy, but Anne of Green Gables was one of my absolute favorite books as a kid, and it very much inspired my writing as well. So I think I might have to say
Nothing
that
wrong
one.
with that.
That's
It's a classic, right?
right.
So, well, Lark, thank you very much for coming on the realm. Remind everybody where they can find you, how they can follow you, and where they can buy your books.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm mostly on Threads, and my name on there is L.E. Thompson 06 underscore author, Laura E. Thompson. So I'm on there primarily. I'm also on Instagram. I don't really post there much, and not really ever on Facebook. And my Linktree and my website and everything are on Threads. And then my editing company is writersjourneyservices .com, and you can find us online if you're in need of an editor or cover art or a fantasy map. We do it all, and for reasonable prices. We will not break your bank account.
Well, good. And I think that a lot of folks that are listening might take you up on that offer. So good luck with that and good luck with the upcoming books. And again, thank you very much for being on the show. And for our followers out there, thanks again for lending us your ear tonight. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.